You are listening to the Next Regeneration podcast by the Osteology Foundation,
a podcast that aims to discuss relevant topics in the field of oral regeneration.
And for this, we invite a new guest each month. I'm Elena Calciolari, I'm a periodontist.
And I am Anina Zürcher, I'm a prostodontist, and we are hosting this podcast.
Hi, Elena. You as a periodontist, what do you think about the role of inflammation in chronic diseases like periodontitis? I mean, it's pretty interesting how our understanding of its role has changed over the years. It seems like we shouldn't just try to stop inflammation, but actually promote its active resolution. What is your take on that, Elena?
Well, Anina, you are absolutely right. And actually, I must confess that this is one of my favorite topics. And I have really followed with interest the literature, particularly in relation to periodontitis. Well, nowadays, we have discovered that dysbiosis and inflammation are reciprocally reinforced, ultimately becoming the driver of periodontitis pathogenesis. And I believe this has brought really to a paradigm shift in the way we can treat periodontitis as well, because we can target not only the bacteria, but potentially also modulate the inflammatory response. But I'm sure that our guests will be able to explain all of this so much better than me.
Oh, yes, Elena. I'm actually very excited that today our guest is Atice Astürk, who is one of the pioneers in host modulation. Atice is a senior member of staff and the director of the Center of Clinical and Translational Research at the ADA Forces Institute. So, Atice, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Anina, for this kind introduction, and Elena for the invitation to join you and your podcast today. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you again.
Well, at least a warm welcome also from me, from my side. And thank you very much for being with us today. But, you know, before going into the details of this very fascinating topic, I would like to ask you about your research journey and how you ended up dealing with host modulation. Because if I'm correct, at the beginning of your career, your main research interest was related to immunology and the influence of the immune system on chronic diseases. So how did you end up researching on host modulators?
Yeah, that's actually true. Because, I mean, the whole reason why I was enrolled in periodontology, actually, after dental school, was about that I was fascinated about immunology, immune system, and how a host could be empowered to take care of inflammation. I was lucky to study in children's hospital where the children's were born or developed immune deficiencies. So looking at from that aspect, if you don't have a sufficient immune response and an empowered immune system, what happens to you, and understanding a well-balanced functioning immune system was actually amazingly fascinating to me. So coming from there, having focused on the role of inflammation in immune system, the host responses, especially primed neutrophils, monocytes, that was my area of focus, was mostly innate immunity. Then actually modulating the host to deal with its imbalances and consequences for me, it made more sense. So in fact, when you think about it, you know, in 1700, and the Jenkins and others came out with vaccination, it's all about to bolstering immune system. It's all about to give power to immune system to get over and take over the infections, inflammation. So in a way, today, talking about dietary nutrition to support the immune system is another way of trying to bolster the immune system. So it's not totally new, but in treatment of diseases, in terms of using pharmacology to do this, it's a new thing. And that's what fascinated me. And of course, being here in Boston, being in Dr. Thomas Van Dyke's lab, and having in touch with a world pioneer, Dr. Charlie Serhant from Brigham and Women's Hospital, who actually found these host modulators, gave us the opportunity, gave me the opportunity. I was just in the middle of it. And I think I was very lucky.
Yeah.
Having all this information that wondering about how I can manage to change things. And they gave me the answer. So I was lucky enough to study these molecules very first time in my hand in vitro and in vivo trials and preclinical.
Yeah.
First and then move forward. So they were very exciting, the in vitro experiments, then helped us to develop animal models to study the in vivo responses.
Yeah. But we will come to that. Don't spoiler everything.
No, not everything. But you know how teacher, I love to hear always this kind of stories, you know, how someone became so passionate about a certain topic. I'm really saying it's always interesting to hear. And when it now comes to the modulators, I mean, I have been reading a lot about host modulation and also the various modulators mentioned in the literatures. And you know, there are so many different molecules and drugs labeled as host modulators. And for me, as a, let's say, as a greenhorn, it's sometimes really confusing. You know, maybe you can clarify a bit what is meant by host modulators.
Right. That's your very amazingly good question you have asked. And we have been actually trying to bring this distinction when we are talking to our audience, to in our grant writing, to our viewers and in papers, and even to ourselves. I mean, when they labeled as host modulators, they're even bisphosphonates were labeled as host modulators. And now we know that these host modulators are not really the, taking the lead to towards the host resolution pathways, but in fact, they're blocking the resolution pathways of the host. So it's in a way they're mostly toxic in resolving inflammation in chronic inflammatory diseases. If there is a disease that is sterile, it's a non-inflamed bone resorption, then maybe these phosphonates could play a role because it changes the balances against the osteoblast, bone loss, bone formation, right? But we do have inflammation, and in every level of changes or wounding or anything that we talk about, periodontal disease, rheumatoid arthritis, that they are coupled with inflammation, with the bone loss, then these host modulators that we know classically do not work. They actually work as against the host modulating. So when we're talking host modulators, we're really targeting those that they are agonist of host resolution pathways. They are switching off the disease, but they're switching on the same time, switching on the resolution molecules to be produced, switching the cell profiles to more resolving profiles. So they're actually changing the inflammatory cascade towards the resolution cascade. So that's the meaning of host modulators we're talking.
And I guess this is also what they have all in common, and what you were explaining us.
Right, okay. Exactly. So basically, what is host modulation? Host modulation is manipulation of immune response to suppress unwanted reactions, right? And it is desirable in many conditions like autoimmunity, allergy, graft rejections, but it also requires, in case of infectious diseases, to stimulate the protective processes so that you don't get infected, right? Strategies to achieve these goals are collectively referred to as modulation of host response. And they
and
do
this con
provide, yeah, sorry. They
sorry,
do
yeah, teacher,
provide a
sorry.
general concept and treatment. Yes, go ahead, please.
No, because I just had the following question. Because the concept you were explaining us is, does this apply only to diseases of the oral cavity or
No,
elsewhere?
no, of course
No.
not. We're talking about chronic inflammatory diseases that actually, but why we've been as a periodontist and oral biologist, oral clinicians are trying to say that periodontal disease, although it's happening in the oral cavity, is not that different than any other systemic inflammatory diseases happening in the other organs. Oral cavity is another organ that the same chain of inflammatory cascade take place. So in that sense, the inflammatory using host response, modulating host response to take care of chronic inflammatory diseases should very well apply to other diseases. And in fact, today, there's a huge army of studies in different disease systems that has been going on using host modulator as new therapeutics.
Yeah, you're right.
Such as diabetes, such as asthma, such as allergy, such as cardiovascular disease, even in eye syndrome, dry eye syndrome, which is another inflammatory disease. So most of them are not that yet in the clinic. It's more of a preclinical stage yet, but there is a huge promise.
Right. But, you know, going back to the oral cavity, because this is our main field of interest, let's say, as Anina said before, you and your group are really pioneered the research related to periodontitis and host modulators. But do you really think this represents a real paradigm shift in the way we're going to look in the future to treat periodontitis? And in which sense? I mean, do you really think going forward, we are going to change the way we address this disease and we treat this disease?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I think we are promoting this treatment. The reason is that what I'm just proposing in my talks, especially highlighting it as well, that up to now we've been targeting the symptoms of the disease. We've been targeting they're not the real cause. I mean, yes, in periodontal disease, you need to have a dysbiotic biofilm or biofilm that is actually initiate the inflammation. But on the other hand, by reviewing plaque, we know that it's not going to break that chain, because once the inflammation is initiated, it takes the whole cascade of inflammatory response to turn on, and that's not reversible unless we do make a modulation in host response. And that is the key here, that we haven't looked at this this way so far. Yes, we have used some, and we should not really mix it up, anti-inflammatories that have been used in the last decades, such as non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents, COX-2 the inhibitors. So these were all the same way, or steroids. The same aim was that they need to stop inflammation. But however, stopping inflammation is not the same as modulating inflammation.
Yeah. It's the active resolution, right? Not blocking it.
Solution. So that's why we think it's a paradigm shift. Very first time, as I said, modulating either, I'm sorry, either empowering immune system or helping immune system to tackle the problem itself is a huge paradigm shift. Second, what I always say, I always start talking in my talks that periodontal disease is, as the other diseases as talked with Anina, the systemic diseases, it's a very complex disease. It's a multifactorial disease. You have a genetic playing role. You have epigenetic. You have behavioral factors. You have the microbiome. You have immune system. So altogether, it's a very complex disease, and pathogenesis is very complex. So when you talk about when you come with the therapeutics, you need to really look at how this disease happens and where we should target, which way we should target to be more powerful, that we can have a more sustainable, more predictable, and long-term resolution of the disease. And that's what I think. I might be biased, but all the research is showing so far that host modulators has this power.
Yeah, and probably I guess this will apply also to perimplantitis. I know there is not much research, but probably going forward, this is another field that you are going to explore.
Absolutely, absolutely. It does make sense. Although so far the research shows that tissues that involves in the peri-implantitis slightly different mechanisms or different bacteria may play a role. The ultimate goal, the ultimate reason for bone loss around the implants are again inflammatory based. So if we know how to modulate inflammation to begin with, upstream, we can prevent the downstream bone loss and, of course, the tissue loss and the implant loss as well.
I mean, Adiche, you were already talking a lot about different host modulators, and also you were also a bit touching already some research projects. So when I follow you, so your research has mainly focused on pro-resolution lipid mediators. So what exactly are they?
So yes, so they are named, they are termed in the last decade as specialized pro-resolving lipid mediators, SPMs, in a shortened abbreviated version. And so they are resolution phase mediators, as you said. They have distinct roles in promoting the resolution of inflammation. So there are a number of SPMs. When I first of all started working on this, as I mentioned to you at the beginning, the SPMs that we know of, they were only two, which is EPA and DHA derived, and also omega-6 derived, coming from arachidonic acid mechanism lipoxins. So we had like two, three molecules that we had known. And we worked. And by the time the investigators, the researchers, and led by Dr. Serhan have found more molecules that they are similar with similar exerting similar functions in different tissues. The most important part of these SPMs are derived from the metabolism of omega-3 and omega-6 in the case of lipoxins. The rest of them are mostly is omega-3, the resolvins, lipoxin, resolvins, resolvin E1, resolvin D1 family, resolvins E family, and resolvin D family. And there's also protectins, there's also maresins. So these are all derivative of omega-3 fatty acids. They are exerting their responses through the actions of receptors. G protein couple receptors, they're very important. Why I'm saying receptors? Because receptors are helping these molecules to change the cell functions, to change their way of acting during inflammation, and they convert their function to resolution functions. As you know, immune system is double-ended sword. So we need immune cells to protect us. But when the immune cell starts acting against the body itself, which is inflammation, which is uncontrolled, then becomes a chronic inflammation. So that is where we need these molecules that they can activate through their exerted functions, through these receptors, that they can change cell functions, they can change production of molecules towards resolution. So these molecules, the SPMs, have been shown that they are changing neutrophil functions, they're helping clearance of neutrophils from the infectious area. They're helping macrophages to kill more bacteria to reduce the debris in around the inflammatory lesion, so they can clear the dead neutrophils. We call it efferocytosis, and so they empower the cells to take care of to do their functions as they should. So that's, and also we know that SPMs are produced by, and also they act on stem cells. So this is very important. Elena will actually be excited here to hear, I guess, that very much involved in regeneration of tissues
Right.
through stem cells as well. So they mediate the immunomodulatory and anti-inflammatory effects of these cells.
So we're gonna hear more and more about these molecules also for regeneration. That's very good. But the good news I think is that as you anticipated actually in the beginning that after many years of preclinical research, some of these molecules you have been working on have finally reached the clinical testing. So for instance, I saw the publication on lipoxin A4, which is a very exciting. So can you tell us more about this molecule and the journey you went through to bring it to the clinic?
Sure. Lipoxin A4 is an analog of lipoxins that is a more stable analog that we have used in this clinical trial. We have used in the preclinical trials as well to prove that we have a strong and novel therapeutic agent, which is more potent, and even a small amounts can trigger these inflammatory pro-resolving actions in the cell and tissues that apply to. So after a series of in vitro in vivo experiments, we were funded by the NIH to National Institute of Health here in America to move into the clinical. So that was actually more exciting times that we are finally translating all research that we have shown and we published throughout from 2000s that was able we were able to apply into the clinic. So we received FDA approval to do the clinical trial for investigational product called Lipoxin A4 containing mouthwash. So we came up with the simplest way of how do we apply, and based on our preclinical research in rabbits and mice, we thought that topical application would be best. And first of all, we're dealing with lipids, so these are lipid molecules readily available to be absorbed by the epithelium, so mucosas of the oral cavity. So that was also another advantage of using them as topically in the oral cavity. So we said, okay, if we put it into a simple mouthwash base and give the patients to rinse, would they be better compared to a placebo or not using anything when they have gingivitis or periodontitis, underlying periodontitis, but showing as an inflammation, as a gingivitis in the tissues? So we enrolled patients that helped 150 patients that 125 patients, sorry, and then we did apply we did give them these 50 of them received the mouthwash have that contains the lipoxin A4. 50 of them did have a placebo, which is just like a carrier of the solvent of the lipoxin and the mouthwash itself, and 25 of them were just using nothing, and they are being in the clinical trial. And so this study very first time have shown that patients only using 28 days of this rinse without any mechanical treatment, they had a gingival inflammation at the level of a moderate to severe gingival inflammation. And the patients who were in the group that received Lipoxin A for mouthwash daily use was able to reduce inflammation statistically significant compared to other groups, as well as signs of bleeding on blood probing. But most importantly, as I mentioned, some patients also had underlying periodontal disease that had pockets, that measurable pockets like 5 or 6. And when we looked at the analysis of these patients who had periodontal pockets, we have seen more than 1 millimeter reduction in there without any treatment. So
reducing the inflammation, basically. That's very nice.
Just reducing inflammation was actually helpful to reduce pocket depth and clinical attachment level. So what is actually a signal to us that this molecule will be, or this treatment will be very helpful for treatment of periodontal disease, as we have seen in animal models. So this was actually the first sign of that it's actually promising. It could help in periodontal disease treatment very first time as a host modulating agent. And it would be a revolutionary treatment, paradigm shift treatment for periodontal disease.
Wow.
There's not likely a pharmacology, resolution pharmacology applied so far.
That's
I guess
nice.
It's very and also I guess it's very rewarding to see after so many years these kind of results, isn't it, in the clinic?
Absolutely.
And Adiche, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is another molecule now at the clinical stage, and it's the complement C3 inhibitor. So
correct.
where do you see its future?
That's
or his application, I mean.
Right. I mean, thank you very much for bringing this up, because I was lucky enough to know George Hajisheng-Yalis from UPenn and a pioneering scientist, as well as his colleague, John Lambris, from UPenn. And he's a scientist, and he was the one who invented this molecule, this tackling complement inhibitor in the medical area. And knowing George and John each other, they came up with an idea that because periodontal disease also involves complement system, and activation of complement is detrimental, hyperactivation of complement. As again, just like similar to what I talked about, the pro-resolution, that it's actually activates the cytokines and innate immunity and adaptive immunity in the periodontal disease that we targeted with host modulators, resolvins, lipoxins, and others. Here, complement system also plays role in periodontal disease, especially when it is hyperactivated, primed. So controlling complement by using inhibition factors upstream could help us to modulate the immune system and respond to the more towards the resolution pathways, would actually come up with a similar outcome. That was hypothesized. And they showed in small animal models, they showed in large animal models, they showed in non-human primate models that this molecule has promising impact. So I was lucky enough to use it in clinic very first time. Similar excitement I had as I did in the resolvins and lipoxins when they translated to clinic. So George and John's group received the IND, investigational drug application approval from an FDA, and we have applied this treatment the very first time in the clinic in patients in the oral cavity. So it was, of course, in the oral cavity as a safety as well as efficacy trial, a phase two trial that we have shown that patients who receive this treatment reduce the inflammation and reduce the bleeding. And also, we looked at the gingival clavicular local exudate level of inflammation, looking at the cytokines, especially looking at the matrix metalloproteinases that they degrade the collagen, and the level of MMP-8 and MMP-9 was drastically reduced with the treatment of complement inhibitor AIMI-101. So this was also another important signal to us that if we use this treatment in periodontal disease, in destructive periodontal disease, it could be revolutionarily helpful, paradigm shift, another paradigm shift. By the way, I do not believe that there's one single bullet for treatment of complex diseases. We need to be able, as clinicians, we need to be able to have an array of host modulators treatments that we can choose from our portfolio to apply the patient that they're in need of. So we need to be able, of course, to identify the patient. So patient-specific treatments could be possible by using these host modulators. So it actually opens up another area of research, which is how to identify these patients, biomarkers and things.
Yeah.
That's
That's still
also
very exciting, isn't it?
yes, that's another
Future.
area of my excitement.
Yes.
Well, Atisha, we could really talk for hours about this, and you are so knowledgeable, and it's amazing. I mean, I really like enjoy listening to you. But just one maybe final question, because our time is up. I was curious to ask you if you think that maybe these products will also help breaking this link that we know that there is between periodontitis and systemic diseases, maybe. Is this something also that you are working on and you think is going to apply to the future use of these type of molecules?
Absolutely. Actually, you touched my heart because it's in my this research line has been my focus in the side of treatment of periodontal disease. But the most important is that today that we are trying to prove that periodontal disease or oral diseases are linked to inflammatory diseases is coming from the inflammation or whatever bacteria, oral bacteria spill over and creates inflammation, stimulates inflammation. So it's basically, again, it centers around inflammation. And yes, these treatments, these molecules could help us and have been actually, we have been using these molecules to explore the link to between the diseases by using these molecules, using treating oral diseases was able to it were actually showing us, at least in animal model, we were able to show that downstream systemic diseases were also inflammation were also controlled. We have shown this in diabetic model animal models. I have shown this in a cardiovascular model in rabbits where the rabbits had atherosclerosis and also periodontal disease. By treating periodontal inflammation, their atherosclerosis was also diminished and reduced the level of inflammation. So these are all showing us that the direction is there, is existing, and finding powerful tools to explore this link is important, as well as it gives us a chance, opportunity to treat these diseases. Can you imagine a drug that is applied in the oral cavity but also affects the heart of the patients, the kidney of the patients? It would be amazingly powerful.
I mean, it would be amazing. We are very much looking forward to have this medication
Absolutely. Thank you. And
one day.
it will put, I think, dental scientists, dental clinicians in the center of
Yes,
the
finally.
Of the overall health, right? Finally.
Yeah, perfect, a teacher. So many information in almost half an hour.
Thank
Perfect.
I like it.
Thank you for the opportunity and talking. As Elena said, I could talk hours.
No, really, thank you very much, Atisha, because really I enjoyed listening to you, and thank you to you and all your group for all the good research that you're producing, and I'm sure will change the way we approach and treat periodontitis in the future. So we will stay tuned and wait for the next papers to come out.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
you so much. Thank you so much, Ativa,
Thank
our
you for
guest
having
today.
me. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed a lot.
This was our Next Regeneration podcast. We discuss relevant topics in oral regeneration. I'm Elena.
And I am Anina. Thank you very much for listening.
Subscribe to our monthly podcast if you don't want to miss a new episode.
You can find us on the Osteology website, on Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify.
We are looking forward to next time.